Well, it's 6 weeks until Love Perth launches, as Fred has already mentioned. And we wanted to have a series running up to that that just helps us to prepare specifically as individuals and as a church family together for Love Perth. Love Perth has 15 different projects to serve and bless the city this summer between the 9th and the 16th of August. I'm going to go a little bit further than Fred this morning and just remind you of some of those things. With kids and youth, we'll have a kids club called Created and a Parents Cafe on during the week. There'll be dance classes, music, drama, drum workshops, games, all kinds of things that are happening. We're going to have youth hangouts, detached outreach to young people with YMCA, be part of the Y Games. We'll have the upper room next door for music and worship events. Hospitality team, they're going to have a business breakfast. Music Mania, so the replay festival, music festival that's over in the South Inch. We'll get involved in just being around to help and care for people, give them some water when they're dehydrated, give them some snacks when they've spent all their money on booze. Whatever it is, we'll do whatever it takes just to serve and bless. We'll be in care homes, sheltered housing accommodation, quiz nights. Social action team will be transforming spaces at the hospital, at the library, and in the flats behind, just taking some of the grounds that are a bit of a mess and serving the community by making them beautiful. We're going to have a Unity World Cup, bringing together all different people from all across the city, different countries they're from, for a fives tournament. We'll be working with addiction and homelessness and people in vulnerable places. There'll be an arts workshop at Skinnergate Resettlement Unit and with women who are in vulnerable places. Photography workshops and prayer in here on the street, around the city, in your homes, different times, different places. And there'll probably be a couple more. But all of these ways are ways that we just say we want to serve and bless the city. That's why we're here. We're not just here so we can gather and enjoy being together and worship much as we do. But we're called to serve and bless those who are around us. The commandment that Jesus asked, what is the most important? He says, love God, love your neighbor. That's it. Everything else is summed up in those things. If we don't put into practice those two simple things, love God and love your neighbor, then we're not really who we say we are as followers of Jesus and the Church of Jesus Christ. And what's more, Love Perth is not just something that we say, well, let's prepare for this for the week. This is our very life. This is what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ in Perth and in Perthshire, in this region that we're part of. So preparing for Love Perth in these next few weeks is no different from what God invites us into for all of our life, all of the time. What these weeks do is they give us an opportunity to remind ourselves of those things that make sure we give God access to all areas of our life. We want God to be at work in all areas of our life. And so these weeks are about allowing God to work in us and with us and on us and then through us, not just for a week in August, but in our lives every day. And so this is just a refresher of the areas that we want to open up in our lives. And there's going to be five H's in the next 5 weeks. This morning we're going to think about the heart. Then we'll think about the head, preparing the heart, preparing the head, preparing our hands, preparing our hunger, and preparing hope as we move towards Love Perth. And this morning we're going to begin with the heart. How do we prepare our hearts with God and for God in our lives? And what do we even mean when we talk about the heart? Well, in the Bible talks about the heart many times. And when he talks about the heart, it really is talking about something much more than just the organ that beats within us and pumps blood all around the body. It is in many ways the core, the center of who we are, from which everything else comes out. So here's what Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says. This is the book of wisdom about the heart. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So that's a picture of the heart of, as the center, the core of who we are, out of which everything we do and say and how we respond and our attitudes comes from out of that inner space. And so it says, be careful, guard, watch out the condition of your heart. Because out of it flows the wellspring of life. Everything flows from it. Some translations talk about it as the heart being the wellspring of life, that place from which everything else comes out of. The core, the center. It's the place from which we operate, respond, react, decide, and then act. All aspects of our life, behaviors, decisions, relationships, flow from the heart. So that means the heart is really important. The heart matters. The condition of our heart. Let me ask you, what's the well of your heart like today? If the heart is the wellspring of life, how's your heart? What's the condition of the well of your heart? Is it clean, fresh, pure, full, life-giving? Is the wellspring of your heart, your life, murky, dark, clogged up, dry, empty? Jesus, when talking about the heart, talks about it like this, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart. You know, as we go through life, we accumulate stuff, some just by, you know, absorbing it, because we might not necessarily be guarding our heart. We're just going to tell whatever comes, we'll just take it and fill the heart with it. Sometimes by choice, we choose what we fill our heart with. Sometimes it's influenced by what's around us. What have you stored in your heart? Well, it can be, as we read here from Luke 6, 45, that a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart. And then there's this, that an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, please don't shout out with answers, but what are you full of? What's your heart full of? That might be a difficult question for us to ask. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you've never looked at the well within you out of which you respond, react, behave. And one of the things that I needed to do when I was on sabbatical for those 7 weeks is to invite God to help me see my heart, the wellspring of life, to see what are the things in there that cause me to act and react and respond in ways that are no longer helpful for this life I live with Jesus. What's in your heart? Because it's the wellspring of life. How's your heart? What's it full of? Is it full of anger, hatred, judgment, bitterness, unforgiveness, offense, resentment, hurt, jealousy, regret, disappointment, greed, deceit? Man, that'll give you a heart attack. If that's the wellspring of your life. Or is it full of love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, truth, hope, faith, mercy, compassion, grace, contentment? Let me ask you, which heart would you prefer to have? Which heart would you prefer your neighbor to have? The person sitting next to you? Which heart would you want them to have? Out of which they live their life. The heart is the wellspring of life. What's in your heart? What are you full of? Now, for some of us, we're already beginning to think, you know, I'm sitting in some of the murky, darker, maybe empty, dry heart place. We want to share hope with you this morning. God is in the business of operating on the heart. In fact, here's what it says in Ezekiel in the Old Testament, 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, because sometimes we can have a hard heart. And so much that has been deposited in it is not good, that it's began to harden over the years. And so we create then some way over time a heart of stone. And he said, but I will change that and give you a heart of flesh. God is in the business of changing hearts. Whatever condition you feel your heart in is in today, the work of God is to change the human heart. We'll celebrate communion this morning with bread and cup that points to Jesus' broken body and shed blood, that points to his death on the cross. And in the cross, we see that God is at work dealing with the issue of the human heart. All the things, the wrong, the sin, the hopelessness, the despair, the pain, the sorrow of our lives that we can at times begin to hold in our heart, even to the point that it becomes a heart of stone. Christ comes to take all of that, that our heart condition might be shifted from death and hardness to life and love. I've come to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, to remove from you your heart of stone and give to you a heart of flesh. Turning our heart over to God, setting our heart towards God in every way. Here's what Colossians 1 says about the heart. Since then you have been raised with Christ. So when we turn to faith in Jesus Christ, we go through our own death and resurrection. An old life goes and a new life comes. And we're raised to life, into this new life with Jesus. And when we do that, in Colossians it says, you've been raised with Christ, so set your heart on things above. Not on everything else, but just set your hearts on Christ. Tune in to Christ who is seated at the right hand of God. That invitation is because there are some things that are in our heart that we've been tuned into that we need to tune out of. And then we need to set our hearts towards Christ, towards God, to tune in to all that God has to say and to do and to reveal and to show and to give and to offer to us. In the 1980s, I used to listen to Radio Luxembourg. Anyone ever listened to Radio Luxembourg? Yeah. All those people listened to pirate radio when they were the stations. And Radio Luxembourg was on long wave. Some people won't even know what long wave is. And it took you ages to tune into Radio Luxembourg. I think it became Atlantic 252 at some point. And so the journey of tuning into Radio Luxembourg went like this. Welcome, Radio Luxembourg. And then, but hopefully at some point, you would get it just, the dial would be just at the right bit, and then, boom, in you were, and you were tuned right into whatever was playing. Took a little bit of energy and effort and determination and intention to tune in to the right station. Folks, we've got to tune in to God and the heart of God, and it takes intention and determination, a decision, an act of the will. We can't just think that we'll absorb it just because we come to church every so often. We got to tune in. Prepare our hearts. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is. We need to tune some of the radio stations of our heart out and tune in to the heart and the voice and the revelation of God. tune our heart to God. I wonder, what have we trained over the years our heart to listen to? What it immediately hears? When what we need to do is train our heart to listen and to know and to hear and to encounter the living God through Christ and the Spirit. So we're going to read a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 8, and the words will be on the screen to help us find our way in preparing. We'll start Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And this is the story or the parable of the sower sowing his seeds across different types of soil. So, words are on the screen. Let's begin at verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seeds, and as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Now, what is Jesus saying here? Is Jesus saying that he's intentionally trying to trip people up by speaking in some ways rather than other ways? Yeah, are the disciples the only ones? Are they the exclusive bunch who only get to understand the meaning? No, Jesus is still talking to the whole crowd, even though it's the disciples who are seeking the understanding. Everyone's hearing, but not everyone's hearing. There's a whole crowd of people, but some are listening and hearing differently than others. Jesus wants all to tune in. Then he goes on to explain it. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, I want to just pause there before we rush by. This in itself is just the gift of God's grace. The seed is the word of God. And the word that is used for the word is logos, which can mean all kinds of different things. It can mean that which God shows us or reveals to us. It's his communication, his revelation about what he speaks and how he acts, of who he is. Revelation, communication, communion, the revelation of his presence, that he can be known, that he knows us but wants to be known by us. That in itself, all of that in itself should take our breath away, that the God of all creation says, "Do you know, I just want to be known by you. I just want to know you and you, me, to reveal who I am and what I'm like, to reveal my love, to communicate to you so you can see what I have for you." Isn't that amazing? That's the posture of God. Here's what I have for you. Do you have ears to hear? Can you see? Are you willing to tune in? And the sower, he throws out the seed. Who's ready to receive it? The revelation of God. And then he goes on. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Well, you know, we have to be honest when we come to this verse. We have to be aware that there's an enemy, a deceiver, an accuser, a thief who's trying to steal from us our walk and our understanding of God. His intention, the enemy, the devil, as he is referred to here, is to steal from you, to tune you away from God, to tune you away from the revelation, the voice, the communication, the word of God. And he's active in doing it. I think there are two ways that this can happen. First of all, God speaks to you, but almost immediately an alternative voice discounts what he said or discounts you from his voice. So God says something, but on the back of it, another voice begins to discount what God has just said or discount you from what God has said. So God says, I am for you. I have chosen you. I have more for you. I have this for you. But already the opposite voice says, nah, he's not. Well, not for me. Even almost just as something God might have said comes, there's another voice comes to seek to steal that away. Then the second is, sometimes over time, we just discount ourselves. So even before God speaks, nothing can penetrate because we've discounted ourselves from what God really wants to do, which is to reveal himself, his love, his word, his goodness, and what he wants to give you. So that nothing penetrates, and it's just easy pickings for the enemy to come and steal it away. The enemy would deceive us to believe, well, none of this is for me. That is not the truth. Not only is God for you, he's got more for you. So let's beware. Let's beware of the enemy who seeks to deafen our ears and our heart to the revelation of God. Verse 13, next one. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, they have joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. No roots, nothing going deep, so that when testing comes, there's nothing of strength. And we're easily shaken and disrupted. We heard, we deceived what God had shown us, what he said to us, what he did for us. We may even have believed it, held on to it, and put it into practice. And as long as things were good, it was good. But then when tough times and testing came, man, we abandoned it. We let go. We didn't dig in. We dropped it. We dismissed it. When testing came, we just blew with the wind in the other direction. The testing comes. What we know is we need to hold on to that which has been spoken. But some soil, Jesus says, well, it just came and we dismissed it. No roots in times of testing. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Thorns, people choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures. This is when we choose other things over God. We displace him with the pursuit of our own comfort, our own security, our own excesses, the quest for more. Weeds, which inevitably bring their own anxieties and worries and insecurities. Our heart and life have tuned out of God and tuned into the weeds. And then the weeds begin to determine our choices and decisions and attentions and actions and attitudes. What's happened is our heart has been distracted away from God and to other things so that we no longer hear. And then verse 15, finally, the true hearing, the heart that hears. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Man, we are not giving up on Radio Luxembourg. We are going to get there, and we are going to keep tuning in and tuning in until, and then we're going to hold on to it. So too with Jesus, those who hear and retain, hold on to. That word is much more grasp tightly the revelation of God, what he said, what he's done, who he is. And in holding on, we then persevere in following through what God has revealed to us. We act on it. We hear, we believe, we accept, we obey, we persevere. And Jesus says, that's the heart. That's the hearing heart. That's the listening heart. That's the tuned in heart. And that's the heart that I can work with. And there will be things that that heart can receive and see and hear and take hold of that the other hearts cannot. This is the God who, when he comes to us, wants to give them more and looks for the heart that is ready to hear and to listen and to obey and to hold on. This is the heart that hears God. He has become truly the king of the heart. He, in fact, has become the wellspring of life. The heart that hears and leads to faith and obedience. That's the difference between those who hear and see and those who don't. Joel Green, commenting on this, writes, true hearing, though grounded in the heart, is manifest in our behaviors. It changes how we live. Out of the heart, we speak, we decide, we choose, we act, we respond, we behave. What's coming out of our heart? Honestly, all these soil types can be found at any time in any life. This is not about kind of categorizing people into which soil are you. Jesus is saying, listen, at any point, at any time, if we're not careful, this can become the condition of your heart. It's a warning. To say if your heart wanders in its condition, you'll miss. You'll stop hearing and seeing and receiving and perceiving. So watch your heart. Prepare it. Tune in to God. Resist the temptation to hear but not hear. Keep tuned in to God. Because that's what brings about a crop of fruitfulness, the fruit, the good fruit from our heart. In fact, in verse 18, Jesus then says in Luke chapter 8, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That's a punchline. So in all of this, any one of these soil types can become the soil of our heart. Jesus says, so be careful how your heart listens. What is it tuning into? Friends, I don't know what's in your heart today, but God invites us to prepare our heart, to guard it, but then also to prepare it, to make sure our heart is in tune with God so that it's producing the good fruit. Because God wants to pour the more that he has for you into you. But he's looking for a heart that's tuned in, that's ready to receive and take hold of God and what he has to say. And not only to take hold of it, to grasp it and then to live it, to follow it through. so that when the other voices that seek to tune us out of God and into something else, we say, no, I will remain steadfast because I want to produce that fruitful crop. That love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the things on those two lists at the beginning where we said, you know what, I'd really love myself and my neighbor to be more like this and less like that. God looks for us to tune our hearts into God. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Colossians 3, 15 and 17 says this. Here's a great passage for tuning in. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Seek God and ask Him to fill your heart with peace. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, be thankful. Train your heart in thankfulness to God. Let the message of Christ dwell within you richly. That's the holding on, taking hold, letting it grow and flourish within you. Let it determine this wellspring of life we call the heart. Be in the Word of God. Look for, long for the revelation of God to you. Who He is, what He has to say, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Ask for His wisdom to form your heart. For some of us, perhaps our hearts have been formed by the wisdom from other places, and we need an exchange. We need divine wisdom in our hearts. With all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart, worshiping, letting our hearts be full as we worship and as we praise God. Hearts change when we're serious and intentional in our worship, in our prayer, in our seeking God, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's prepare our hearts. When we come to communion, and when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about remembering Christ's death and resurrection, his suggestion to them was, in 1 Corinthians 11:28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. So I'd like us to pause with a little bit of examination on our heart today. What's the condition of your heart? And maybe we could even begin to just play through this first song. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, or setting our hearts. So let's pray together. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word and revelation of God. God wants you to know. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they cannot believe or be saved. Has your heart discounted you from God? Has the enemy discounted what God has said? It's time to change the place of your heart. You are not discounted. The revelation of God is true and good and right and noble and loving and kind. His revelation is for all and to all. Do not discount yourself or God. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Lord, we want to receive your word with joy and then hold tightly your word and your revelation with joy and not let go. That our roots might go deep into you. Strengthen your people, Lord, for those who are going through trials and tests and struggles just now, where the temptation is to simply give up or break away or go silent or withdraw. Lord, help us even just now by your Spirit, by new revelation to us, even in these moments. Strengthen us in our heart that we will not give up. We will keep on persevering, holding on and claiming and receiving again the truth of the revelation of God, His word to us, His presence to us, His truth, His life, His strength, His encouragement. We will not be shaken in the times of testing and trial. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not receive. Lord, may our hearts be set only on you, not distracted by the ways of the world that seeks to lure us. Into riches and pleasures that just create their own worries and tensions and struggles. Lord, would you reveal to us those things that have taken the attention of our heart above you, that we might hear and receive again all that you would give and show to us. Instead, may we have a good and noble heart, hearing the word, holding on to it as treasure, and by persevering, produce a crop of fruitfulness. May we live out of a heart that is full of Christ and the Spirit and the truth of God. We pray in Jesus' name.